You're listening to 100.9 FM Noongar Radio. It's Jeremy Garlett here with you. And the program is Health Matters. And today we focus on healthy living and positive mental health. And it is something that we need to talk about here at, and have this conversation. And two people have come into the studio. Natasha Garlett, hello, how are you? Tell me a little bit about where you're from and country.
I'm from Carnarvons. I'm a Nyamuji girl, and my mum was stolen, so she was from Moora. But I'm a part of Balladong. I married a Balladong boy.
Yeah. So you were born in Carnarvon?
Yes.
Yeah, I was there too. I was born there too as well. But it's amazing. And your connections from Balladong as well? From families?
No, that's my husband's side.
Mm-hmm. And if you come close to the microphone, it'll be right.
Yep. My mother's side is, so Yurat people and Noongar as well. So mostly down Perthia. She started coming back in the early 90s to visit most of her siblings and get to know more of her family and showed us as well, which was good because it helps us today.
Yeah. And Natasha, you work with the East Metropolitan Health Service?
Yes.
Tell us about what you do there.
I'm an Aboriginal Health Liaison Officer, so mostly based in community. So we go out and do community programs and cover from Joondalup to Midland and some places in between like Mirrabooka and also a couple in Coburn. But we're a wide team, so we've got a team down in Mandurah and that cover around Fremantle and Kwinana, some of the Peel area and Bentley as well.
Wow, a big area.
Yes.
Yeah. And Mr. Peter Humphreys, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm good.
Yeah. I think I've spoken to you before. Tell me about country, do you, and people.
Oh, okay then. My father's from Kellyburn Way, so Balladong mob there, all our mob through there, right down to Pingelly Way. My mother's from, the Wadjalla tribe.
Mm.
But, I'm happy. Living here in Perth and Noongar man and working in health. What more can you want?
And where are you?
I'm based at the Royal Perth Hospital there, working with Natasha and working for East Metro Health Service, yeah.
Wow. And, connection to country, because that's really important to know that people are listening out there that you might know. And of course, the message here is healthy living and positive mental health. And it covers a big field of things we need to talk about today.
Yeah.
And tell us about lifestyle, which is a really important thing for not only everyone who's listening into the program, but community and people and connections. How do we put that message across and how do we identify that?
Okay. First of all, I got into health because I could see the mental health problems in the Aboriginal community.
Hmm.
And also I look after my parents, elderly, parents, and, I thought, that's how I got into nursing and I was thinking, when you work in the health industry, you're able to get a bit more knowledge on what tablets do and the different diseases and things like that. So, I've just learned that a lot of it's got to do with our diets and our lifestyle choices and what we can do to make them better, yeah.
And the importance too is connection to country when you're seeing families coming in at the hospital and there's quite a few family members and you go, how important is that knowledge when you're dealing with our people?
Yeah, I worked up in a remote community that inspired me to do my nursing and I've worked in health for over 10 years in different positions and if it wasn't for that experience, I wouldn't have been able to relate to our people today. So just listening and understanding where they're coming from, but also breaking down the barriers and terminologies in helping them understand their diagnosis.
And there needs to be this conversation, which is difficult to have from time to time, but you are the conduit to bringing this conversation out. And also seeing some of the things that's happening within the community when it comes to a healthy lifestyle. And how do you put that message across to our community? How important is that? Peter?
Oh, me.
You're right.
I thought, Tash, you're going to finish off.
No, it's good.
It's very important. And both Tash and I work at the hospital, like I said, and we get a lot of people coming down from the Kimberleys and Pilbara and up there. And often they don't have the healthy lifestyle choices that we have down here in the city. So it's a lot of, we just have to be careful about what we eat and put into ourselves I don't know, Tish, what do you...
The importance is putting that message across, I suppose, when you can see it within your community as well, to when you see that, like you see family members, having copious amounts of sugar and even the damper and the kangaroos. It's good food. It's really nice to eat. But it's all the other things like the fat and all that stuff. How do you put that message across to our people?
I think it has a lot to do with portions. We all eat. Yeah, we're all big. Yeah. And a lot of our mob from back in the day, we're all healthy, thin, and now we've got a lot of sugar in our diet and processed foods and things like that, so it just makes it that much more harder. We're having too much salt, too much sugar, and our lifestyles, we tend to slow up a little bit more, so we're not as active as we were years ago.
And that also, there is a correlation when it comes to mental health. And you're feeling down and there's lots of stresses that we have as Aboriginal people. I mean, it's good to go and get some fast food for me. And I go, I'll have some fast food or have some Diet Coke or Coke, and I shouldn't advertise people, but these are the things that sort of, makes our life.
I know that we just learnt in some training recently that if you put food into your mouth that is full of nutrients, your body knows what to do with it. But as soon as you put something in your mouth that is highly processed, and got no nutrients in it, your body doesn't know what to do with it, so you just push it to the side and it turns into fat.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
And because we're, and of course having to deal with also the mental health issues that we face as Aboriginal people, to understand that there are issues even within my own families, and I'm going, there's an issue here. And 9 times out of 10, and I see this all the time within our communities and my family groups, I go, okay, no, they're eating the wrong food, and also not sort of looking at some of the issues that we sort of face as Aboriginal people, because when it comes to the sorry generation, sorry statements coming up soon, that's really important to our people as well. The mental health issue is also another way we need to address that particular sort of challenge that we have as Aboriginal people.
And what we're saying, Jeremy, is good physical health, keeping yourself active, and this supports mental health.
Yeah.
And often poor physical health will support poor mental health.
Mm-hmm.
So, and having those positive thoughts, good physical health, it sort of blocks those negative thoughts and gets the serotonin levels and the endorphins and it keeps your head right. Yeah.
It's almost like, I remember sort of working in the north of the state, and one of the doctors said that it's almost like the placebo effect. What's inside, how you sort of react to something, because there's going to be a correlation of a reaction going to a funeral. The most important thing is that there's going to be a lot of people sad at the funeral.
No.
And then we have issues at the funerals, with people starting to upset about some particular thing. But how can we sort of avoid these issues?
Well, you got practical ways to stay mentally healthy. There's, you know, you spend time with your family and friends and loved ones and things like that, and just hanging out with positive people, you know. Keep them active. Have a hobby. I know I got a hobby. It's basketball, but you sort of, as you get older, you go down in grades. But getting enough sleep and, you know, setting yourself some goals and things like that, that all helps. And also the alcohol and drug consumption, you know, too much needs to be reduced or stopped if you're going to give yourself half a chance.
Yeah.
Or you can go back to country and
that's a good one.
Visit people that you haven't visited for a while.
Because that's a beautiful thing. When you go to country, going back, it's almost like your placebo is working, you know, your placebo effect, and you feel good being in country.
Yep.
And you're meeting families. And, of course, the brain clicks in. You know, go, okay, oh, I remember this and that. And that's the environmental process when it comes to our wellness of health. My nephew, what he does now, he's an incredible nephew. He's absolutely brilliant. And I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm making boomerangs and I'm making all these Aboriginal implements and Noongar implements. And I'm going, why do you do that? He said, for my wellness.
Mm.
And having a hobby is a process too as well, to look at wellness and go, okay, I'm going to do something. And, you know, it doesn't matter your grades, you know, with your basketball. It doesn't matter. You're moving.
Mm.
And you're doing things, and it's the active lifestyle. Or the, you don't have to be overly active, but just generally active.
And what started as 5 or 6 times a week, it was only one day a week now.
But it's something, and that's the main thing as well. Yeah. How important? Because we did some work at the UWA, did some research work, and it was about isolation. Isolation is one of the things and one of the key indicators when people are feeling down. And we did that for Beyond Blue. Tell us about that process, how important to have that, again, connection and family and people.
I think it's good to have that identity of where you're from and so that you're, and also knowing your elders, because they can help with telling you stories and helping you with your journey as well if you're struggling with something in your life. If you didn't know that, it would be really hard to get that support.
That's right.
Just knowing your extended family as well and being close to them.
And if you have to make changes in your life, well, you know, you have to be around, like I said before, positive people. People are not going to bring you down and things like that there. One of the things I learned in that nutrition session that we did last week, this is change of habit usually takes about 21 days.
Is that right?
Yeah, so if you're going jogging tomorrow, Jeremy, you know, you've got to do it 21 times, you know, and before you sort of get into a habit of something like that. So if we're talking about healthy eating or, you know, trying to stay mentally healthy, you know, we need to think about that for a moment. It won't come overnight, but, you know, if we get friends and that to support you, you know, you can do this together. Have a laugh.
Peter, that's a good idea to think that, because when you think, we're like a computer system, aren't we?
Yeah.
And we keep programming it, and we keep programming and programming. And because some people sort of give up halfway through it and go, oh no, I've had enough of this. You know, it's coming back to saying, okay, no worries, it'll click in.
Yeah.
It'll click in.
And just, having a good laugh, like our mob and all our families, we all know we're all funny. We like to have a joke about a lot of things. Just a smile and laughing, it gives you an instant facelift and motivates you straight away. It uplifts you and you feel really good.
Definitely.
So that is, that's another thing. It's also talking about connection to country. It's laughing, it's conversation, and to have that conversation and it's connection to family. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then, again, that's exactly what one of the doctors was saying, is that the biggest placebo is your happiness from within yourself to change that paradigm of your experience, to go underneath the source that's of right. infinite possibilities. And these beautiful stories that we're giving up in the bush, you know, in Carnarvon, and because we grew up there, and we still have the old dancing and the traditions and all that stuff there. And it was understanding that we were more happier when we got together as a community. And there was more happiness because of the connection of family and people, and we knew what was going on. And I really believe that's very similar to what the placebo effect is about, going into the inner self to change. And what other sort of ideas do you think that we should be sort of fostering when it comes to that aspect of our health, when it comes to our mental health? There are other things you'd mentioned, sports, which are pretty good. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good idea.
Well, we need to think about also just the our support system. You know, having a friend or just having somebody that's going to assist you in trying to get better, you know. And sometimes we just don't have these skills. And, you know, that's no shame involved in that. We need to be able to refer them, you know, do the old handball there. Maybe, you know, refer them to a GP or something, or a counsellor or a psychologist, whatever, just to get for them... to get that help that they need.
Mm-hmm.
And
so really it doesn't really matter whether it's family members, it could be other members in the community. It could be wadulas too as well, who are very close to a person who's going through some of these challenges.
And if you do come across someone that's having a hard time, and just listen to them and refer them, and with their, you know, consent and stuff. If they want to go see somebody or talk to somebody, maybe if they're a close family member, don't leave them alone. Spend the night, or vice versa. Get them to camp over. Just keep them close until they're feeling better.
Tell them that you're there for them and reassure them.
Yeah.
That you care about them. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
That's what you can do for them. You know, what they would like you to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And maybe, take them on maybe there's a sports event that's happening, or a community event.
Yeah.
And there's various events that are happening through the Aboriginal Medical Service as well in community.
Yeah.
And to take them down there is, and to meet, and that's what it is. It's the isolation that takes place. Yep. That we need to sort of understand that process. We're going to go to a music track at the moment, and Natasha, thanks, and Peter.
Thank you.
So we'll keep talking, and we'll come back with the conversation right here on Noongar Radio 100.9 FM on Health Matters.
Hey, it's Jordan. You're listening to 100.9 FM.
Good morning to you. How are you on Noongar Radio 100.9 FM? I've got to realise that I'll be coming on at 12 o'clock at right here at Noongar Radio. And, healthy living and a positive mental health, which is really, really important to know right here on Noongar Radio on Health Matters. Now, this program is also heard right across Australia too. And to all of our listeners, it's nice to be with you as well, wherever you are. In the program is Natasha Garlett, and from the Southeast Metropolitan Area, or North, what is it?
East
Metropolitan Area. I've got the best glasses on today. Yeah. And Peter Humphreys, and of course, thanks you both for coming into the studio and have this conversation, because the conversation is really, really important when it comes to, healthy living. And it equates to everything when it, health. It also equates to, how your happiness is and how you feel. It is an important process, and we're talking off air too as well. Natasha, tell us some of the examples of you've sort of come across for people who are unwell, and you've sort of helped them.
Diabetes is a real big problem in the community. I helped a lady one time due to amputation, and it was really sad because she had children and she lost her independence, and she went through a lot of pain, physical pain, mentally pain, and just wanted to give up because she couldn't perform the duties what she was used to doing. I worked with her for 4 months, just visiting her, sitting down, talking with her, taking her for walks. And after 6 months, she was participating with the nurses and the doctors on how to build up her strength to still be able to perform those tasks. So it took about roughly just under 12 months to get her back at home doing the things that she wanted to do, and getting her sugar as well to the levels that within the normal range, so that she could not have any more amputations, but be able to manage her diabetes just from education and supporting her and being there with
and
her.
That role is a very important role, isn't it?
It sure
to
is.
To our people, because we need to break those barriers across, barriers down. And it also happens from patients too. You know, the patients will get a little frightened. And 9 times out of 10 people are moving from one location to another.
Yeah.
And that is an important process, isn't it?
We need more Indigenous doctors, nurses, allied staff. There's a lot of training out there for scholarships, a lot of opportunities for our people to take that up if they're interested. Just everywhere I go, I try to have a positive outlook and role model for my mob, and share my story with them as well, how far I've come, so that maybe, you know, they can take up some of that good advice .
And you've just come back from a training seminar, and you've learned something there, and which I really thought was really important, because I thought, well, yeah, it takes 21 days for the brain to sort of kick in. I don't even think about that.
Peter pressed on it a little bit there. We learned that habits it takes 21 days to make a habit and to break one. So whatever you want to do, whether try something new, whether exercise, or give up some cigarettes this week, or even your alcohol intake, or just anything, try and do it for 21 days, and then it should become a habit and it should be easier for you to do all the time.
Yeah, very good point, Peter, isn't it?
We probably need to point out that it's a slow process, so just a little bit at a time. It might just mean less alcohol, less smoking, maybe a little bit more exercise, and getting out there and doing something for yourself or something that you like to do.
Don't give up.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
And Peter Humphreys, give me an example of you would have helped a lot of people in the community, and you've done that before. You've by listening to you, and it was interesting to hear how you approached helping people in the communities, because as Aboriginal people we feel a lot of things within their communities and what they're going through as First Nation people.
Yeah, I initially got into health because I wanted to help my parents just understand some of the chronic diseases now that most of the elders get, and learn about medication and things like that there. But now I find that just with our mob, a lot of diabetes, a lot of mental health issues, depression and things like that. And I can only speak for my family. There's been a lot of suicides, not just in our family, but a lot of Noongar families, and not just Noongars too, I suppose, up north and right around. And this is a result of this terrible thing that somebody has to get to the stage where they have to take their life, and when we bring it back, it's just a matter, as it sounds difficult, but it's just a matter of eating a balanced diet and regular exercise and maintaining a healthier weight and just having those family connections there or building them family connections there and staying with a positive attitude, because I know that it's very hurtful having to attend funerals of your cousins and things like that and family members. And I thought about that and I thought it's just this terrible thing that's just creeping in amongst our mob and it's got a lot to do with alcohol and drugs too, I know. And so we just need to, you know, really take care of ourselves and look out for each other, basically, yeah.
Just listening to you now, Peter, I'm sort of seeing that there are practical things that can be done, which is really yet something. So we take that for granted, that just a conversation, just a hello, and Natasha, you with information, and just to share that information across to our community as well. And there are very practical things to do, but at the same time, it can be very difficult to impart. It takes a while to sort of build those bridges or build the individual to get to a point and say, okay, no worries, let's see how we can do some really practical things, you know, of conversation.
Yeah, I think, and it's not just, a lot of people say it's just in the young people and that, and it's just right across the age range. And it's just those basic things that we need to do to look after ourselves and to look after each other. And we used to do that once upon a time, Jeremy. And
a lot of conversation, just, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I don't think we do that much.
Yeah.
We do it to an extent, but don't do it as much as we used to. So it's sort of, you know, looking out for those that might be feeling depressed or a little bit more than usual and, you know, and going through the motions of, you know, asking them how they are and what you can do to help. Yeah.
And one of the things, when I go back in time, a lot of our people would sit down around the card table.
Yes.
And, of course, we'd be basically gossiping about people down the road. But it was a conversation, you know, and the funny thing of the conversation. And that happened in the north, and then we played two up, believe it or not. It was people coming together at that time in Narrogin and families and the conversations were there, and the talking about the things that's happened in the town and the realities of what we're going through, and now people can go online, they can talk to you, and that's what we need. That's the pressures we have today, I gather. Does that be the same?
No, a lot of our folk, you know, even just across the road over here, used to meet up there and get that help or meet up with their families and that from, you know, I'm talking rural areas, country areas and stuff like that. Or down at Wellington Square there, you know, just meeting up there. But now it seems to be from the hospital, people coming down from other areas in the country and that, and they get stuck and they come out of the discharge and then they sort of don't get a chance to get back to
their
family and mob. So some of these things start to creep in when they, you know, haven't got no money or get into trouble or whatever, you know. So
Give us an example of some of the work that you've done that given some really positive results. What you gave, I've seen someone's changed their life, and give us some of those case examples.
We deliver the life course around Perth, and also Moritsia Binge, It's Becoming Strong, and Journey Living with Diabetes. So in the life, we've seen a lot of people change because it covers grief and loss. And our mob, you know, if they don't talk about, again, it's that talking.
Yeah.
So we pick a place that's private where they're able to share, make them comfortable, and if they're interested, they can come along by themselves or bring someone else. But we've seen people that have really just blossomed after the life course because of just getting past that one topic of the grief and loss and everything they've shared. And it's whether they've lost a loved one or they've lost their independence or they've lost, the loss comes in many different ways. But we explain to them the signs and symptoms and help them recognise how to manage it better. So it is a really good course, and we've been flat out last term and we are again this term, so we're kind of booked out. And
it's all free too. Yeah.
It is free.
It's over 6 weeks and it's all free.
We do catering. Yeah. Yep.
So tell me where that is, so we can, you know, that's, we can let our people know who are listening at the moment.
Yep.
And how they can be a part of this project.
Yeah, we're booked into two, one in Stratton, that starts next week.
Yep.
On Tuesday, and
the other one's in Hamilton Hill.
Yeah, yeah.
And also we're getting into the prisons as well.
Oh, right.
They tell me you get a captured audience in there.
And they're listening now.
But it's just for, you know, 2.5 hours. We provide lunch, so it's over that lunch period. And we go through the motions of just like Tash touched on. And you get a flash shirt at the end and a certificate. And I guarantee you'd have a good time. We also do a miniature binge course as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And this one has got a cooking component, little bit of an exercise component. We're wary of those that have got a chronic illness or something that can't move.
Yeah, yeah.
So sometimes we might even just, if they can't move around much, they might be just sitting on the chair doing a bit of Tai Chi or something like that. But we have a lot of fun with that and cooking and that. And Natasha makes the best damper and she beat me anyway.
Natasha,
my husband does.
You're gonna be working with us here now, okay? But going back in time, and Peter, I don't know how old you are. You're probably a young fella. You're probably younger than me.
30.
But when I think of the old days, and I go back to the old days where the mothers and the fathers, and when we went to a funeral, and we were talking in the funeral, my aunties used to say that you've got to cry, you've got to let it out, you've got to let all your feelings out.
Mm.
And they said if you don't cry, you're holding it in. Is that true? Is that from your experience, from your families as well? When you, you know, the getting getting the grief up to the top of your,
I don't know. I just cry anyway.
You cry, yeah.
But I guess that would have a lot to do with a lot of stuff that's not getting sorted out, you know, inside your head. And if you don't release that stuff, it'll just bottle up, and of course you're going to the next funeral and the next, and it could be somebody that real close.
Yeah.
And these are the things that people with the mental health issues and concerns they have, you know, if they're not getting the right help, you know, they're going to turn to other things.
And the other thing is the benefit of people coming together but also talking.
Mm.
And that's where the aunties way back in the 60s and, of course, the 70s, where families were coming together, and because they said, we've got to ring this member, you've got to ring that, you've got to bring people together. You see what I mean? That's so different when it comes to our culture, bringing people together and of course, dealing with that situation of grief, which is, it is a health sort of challenge,
Every second Friday, I just want to mention this too, Jeremy. We have a men's group, Rich Marmon, and we come together as well, and we talk about the issues as men, what we face, and as you know, you can just imagine some of those issues that come from domestic violence or, you know, break up of relationships and whatnot with children and things like that there. So there's a lot of issues there that, you know, we try and deal with as well. And when I go in there, sort of, it's pretty, we do the biometrics and, you know, make sure that people, the men are safe, or, you know, blood pressure, and I talk to them about some of those things as well, so that it gives them half a chance, you know. If they've got high blood pressure, well, you know, we'll try and refer them to a GP or a British general or something like that, you know.
Mm.
And all these things alleviate all those problems that, you know, lead to depression, mental health and things like that, yeah.
And tell us about some of the successes there, you know, by doing that.
Yeah, well, we've had, we call them, you know, our dozen. we started this early last year, and we've just continually had a dozen men turn up every time, sometimes for the
that's good.
For some of the activities that we go, maybe a golf day or something. Obviously we'll get a few more than a dozen, like about 30 or
wow.
But well, 10 per mile, you know, it seems like, but it's good to have everybody there, and you know, we get to mingle with the crowd, and just it's a positive thing, and we don't have to have the alcohol and the drugs and everything there that, you know, that we can, we don't need it. And sometimes, you know, we get there and have a good time without anything. It's just laughing and yarning and like we used to, yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Natasha Garlett, back to you, because when you're dealing with this, men's health as well as women's health, which is important, and, you know, having a mental sort of health situation when a family member has it, you know, they need that contact, they need that people. What's happening in the way for Aboriginal women?
So when we go out and deliver our programs, we have a resource table that has all kinds of resources on it to help people see where they can go.
Yeah.
We also give out packs that have a lot of information in them, so in case someone doesn't want to go up to the resource table.
What's in those packs?
It's information on like Beyond Blue, numbers or places where, if they're homeless, where they can go for feed and a shower in the city, or there's Aboriginal hostels, information on there.
So it's like a link for other people to see when they're going through there.
Yeah.
Where they see.
Resource, like a book for them, so they can just, even if they are okay, but they know somebody that they need to help, whether it's their family member or someone else, that they can pass this information on to. And we have seen that. We've had people that have attended the courses and graduated from them, but also went back and gave it to their family, so then they've attended as well. So
yeah,
it's like
that
ripple effect.
Yeah, yeah. And no doubt you would see this all the time, and you'd see this in what you do, and you see them coming back, and you go, oh, you know, I've done something here, you know. And how do you feel when that happens, when you know that you've done something good there to assist someone in that?
I feel good. I don't like to take all the credit. Just want to keep helping them, and I have mentored a couple of girls. When I left the remote community, I brought a couple of girls down and showed them around Perth, and also enrolled them in nursing, as same as what I was doing.
Really?
And that's that kind of stuff, just getting them, because it's the unknown that is a bit scary. But if you're helping people like that down on that level, you can make a difference.
And Peter, that's the same conversation and same thing, really, in a way. You know, it's what you, the things that you get out of, what you put into, you get out. And, you would have had that, the same thing with the men's groups too.
Yeah, I look forward to going out there with the men, and it's such a good feeling. And, you just sit down there and just yarn, it doesn't matter what we're doing. It's just that bonding and just being able to talk and just get the men and just listening to them open up. Because I know, you know, not that long ago I was there, just, you know, no self-esteem and whatever, or just had those problems there, issues, you know, the ones with women and all the rest of it. It's been such a positive thing for our men, and that's why I encourage every second Friday to come out. We're going down to I think they're going for a swim, so if you're down that way, come along. The other thing, I'll just mention this.
Yeah.
We have a men's day.
Excellent.
And a stand at Bibra Lake there with young Cyril Yaron, And just a cultural men's day, we're doing a cultural walk through that Bibra Lake area there, and we'll have our elders and take us through things, and just have our service providers and everything like that there to assist us.
And of course, that cultural connection. And what are the things you have a conversation about when you're there? It's families and connections and who we are as people. That would be some of the conversations that you have. And I was thinking I'm thinking about funny stories too, you know, because, you know, when we get together, we just have a good laugh.
It is.
And with all the men's groups that I've went to, and even women's group, we were talking, and there's so much laughter. Within our community and our people, you know.
And it's a relief of stress. We're just going out as a group, going for a walk through that area. You've got to watch out for the snakes, of course.
Yeah.
And then come back and have a bit of a barbie and just have a bit of a chat. And so that's on the Friday the 9th. So
Friday the 9th, okay. We'll put that down in the diary. Friday the 9th.
Yeah, in March.
March.
Yeah, it's from 10 a.m, Jeremy.
What age group are you looking at over there?
Oh, look, you know, just bring your brothers, uncles, dads, pops. I guess it's mainly for the adults. I wouldn't turn away any kids,
So make it a family.
If you can't do it, Pop's got to look after them, we'll bring them along. Just look after them.
Now, you come from a cultural background too, from your pops and probably my pops too. But then we go back, how important is culture and that connection to the country? You know, like stories, talking about the old days.
Yeah. It's funny you said that because, you know, we moved around as kids. We moved around those early days and I'm just sort of learning more about Noongar language and my grandfather, Cliff Humphrey's language.
Yeah, that's right.
And Balalong area. And it's just interesting because both my brother and mother, they travelled around Australia. So we're learning that language up north there and Murrays and Currys and Nungas and, it's always good to come back and with your mob and just embrace it and, you know, soak yourself and just learn as much as you can. It's so important for men anyway.
This was such a wonderful conversation, a beautiful conversation here, because we've only got a minute to go. Thank you very much, Natasha Gallas and Peter Humphreys, and on Health Matters, and we'll get the information. Thank you very much for coming into the program. You got about 30 seconds to say something? Tell me.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. And of course, we'll put this information out in the community. We'll be going to the National Bulletin right now. And thank you very much for coming on the program right here on Noongar Radio 100.9 FM. And to our listeners, if you have any information, and 0448 21186, that's our input line. And I was speaking with Natasha Garland and Peter Humphreys. Really, thank you very much. And of course, this program is also heard on our Koori network too as well. We'd like to welcome our Koori people throughout Sydney and, of course, northern networks right around Australia as well. This is Jeremy Garland bidding you a very good